This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We are back with Jasper Lacalze of the College of Idaho and Don Day with Boise Dev. Okay, so also on the ballot in Boise were two initiatives, and I do promise for our listeners we will be getting out of Boise. Bear with us if you want deeper analysis, because we will go outside of the city of Boise. These two initiatives in Boise, they asked voters whether they would like to weigh in on the proposed library and stadium projects. Both needed 50% of the vote to pass. These passed with significantly more than 50%. What were your thoughts when you saw those numbers? And Don, I'll start with you.
I was surprised. I was not surprised to see that the yes vote won. I kind of expected that for two reasons. One, people are pretty fired up. Two, the language was just confusing enough that there could have been some people that were supportive of a library and or a stadium that went in and said, oh, yeah, I like libraries and stadiums, and pushed yes. I'm not insulting the intelligence of the voters. I think it was just
– I will.
It's a little – yeah. However, the Proposition 2 that would require the city to get future voter approval to use more than $5 million towards a stadium, one was 75% of the vote. I don't think that many voters were confused.
No.
The library – Proposition 1 did a little better if you're a library supporter, but still came in at 69% saying the city should come back to the voters if it wants to spend on a library.
What kind of message does this send to the mayor, to the city council, when you see those types of numbers?
That you better get out and get supportive stuff before you vote for it, before you try to push it forward. That I'd be curious. They should have had another initiative. Do you support a library? Do you support a sports stadium? Because at least I think for the library it would pass. But I think it's again, we were talking about with Lauren how people wanted to be heard. People want to be heard. They want to. They want to think at least that the candidates or at least the politicians are listening to them and they're doing what they want. And I think especially on a big issue that it's easy for people to comprehend. I mean, there's a lot of issues, whether it's homelessness or traffic or something, which are really difficult to try to – this is easy. Do you want this library? Do you want this sports stadium? People can figure that out. And I don't think – And this goes to some, I think, why people were against Beter, was his kind of an arrogance, aloofness, that he thinks he knows what's right. He doesn't care about us.
Does that come from being in office for so long?
Tends to. I mean, I think everybody gets that way when they're in there. They think they know and they do know things. He does know more about the background, a lot of this stuff, than others. But you get divorced from the public some. I mean, that's the whole argument about term limits and such like that. And I'm not saying that, you know, Beter is this, you know, completely doesn't care about the people or anything about like that. I think he clearly does. They didn't sell it well enough. He didn't get out and really tell people this is why you want to have a library, why you want to have a sports stadium, why this is good.
We live in a representative democracy, and we elect people who are going to make decisions on our behalf. Sometimes I think elected leaders can maybe take that a bit too far. There was a lot of people raising a lot of questions and concerns on the stadium and library. I've covered both of these very closely. Combined between the two of those issues, I've written more than 100 stories in the last 3 years. And when the library was rolled out, they brought the media in one by one. They gave us 45 minutes. They showed us the plans. We asked questions and we wrote stories. They didn't point out that the library was not on the campus. They didn't point out issues around parking. They didn't point out that the Anne Frank Memorial could be impacted. And it was sort of done quietly and then rolled out to the public. And I don't think that that is a good tactic in a modern era. People want to be involved. I go to city council every single week. There are a lot of people that show up. These Northwest Boise folks that are upset about some development out there, there's often 50 people in the room who have taken time out of their day at 6 o'clock on a Tuesday. They've gotten childcare. They're missing dinner to come testify. People are passionate in this city. They are worried about growth. And these election results show that the voters want to have a say. I don't think we've mentioned the turnout last night, mm-hmm. except for in a polite way.
40%.
That's up 10 points from 4 years ago.
Well, in an off election year as well.
Yes.
Let's talk about the city council races in Boise, because incumbent Elaine Clegg, she retained her seat, while Jimmy Halliburton and Patrick Bajan won. What do you think was notable about these races?
I think the one thing Jimmy Halliburton was kind of the outlier to somewhat. He kind of broke some of the mold there. And I think it was a lot of grassroots stuff. He had a lot of people working for him. But he also came in with a lot of name recognition and the Boise Bike Project, which is very popular. People really like. So he wasn't just somebody that people hadn't heard of before. And he does the ride with Jimmy, and some people go, I'm not that thrilled with all that stuff, but that people could identify with him. He's a nice guy. He has a great story, and he's made a lot of friends, and that's how you could do something like that. So he kind of bucks some of the money and endorsements and things like that. So that's why I find interesting that it's not always big money coming in and doing stuff. If you really do a lot of the groundwork, you can still win.
Jimmy and Meredith were both strong candidates. They were both very close together in the results.
Incredibly close.
Very close. And if you look at the map on this, mm-hmm. it doesn't really follow what you would expect. It's not like north and east.
That's what surprised me when I looked at the map. Yeah.
And I think Lisa Sanchez told me earlier this year that she recruited Jimmy onto the council. This follows a pattern from Lisa 2 years ago. She ran against Frank Walker for city council. Frank Walker, a known entity here, he had the same kind of backing that the mayor and Meredith has, and lost. There's a strain in this town that is interested in seeing different candidates with different points of view.
Okay, so let's talk about that then, because that's true. I mean, you're right about Lisa Sanchez. You're right about Jimmy Halliburton. Even with Lauren McClain getting the amount of the vote that she received last night, that there seems to be a shift in the electorate in what people are thinking. And is this something, could we say there's new Boise versus old Boise? Is this just needing a change of the guard? I mean, what do you think this possibly is? Because there is a shift happening.
Boise State School of Public Policy did a survey this spring that I've gone back to a number of times, and they asked, how do you think your local elected leader is handling growth? And they surveyed across the Treasure Valley, so it's not just specific to Boise. 72% said their local elected leader was doing a fair or poor job of managing growth. You see that in the results in Boise. People are like, you know what? I'm not good with the current guy. I'm going to try somebody else, even though very similar. Mm-hmm. And I just think people are looking for some change. They're fed up with growth. They don't know where to go, and they're trying to have their say at the ballot box.
Well, and we should say that even in Eagle, we saw the incumbent mayor lose that election last night. Jasper, let's head out to Caldwell.
Okay, I'll get the car.
Okay, get the car. We'll be there in about 40 minutes. Former lawmaker John McKee wins a seat on the city council. And when he first put his hat in the ring, I think there were a lot of shocked people and thinking there's no way with the history that he has. Yet maybe some of the best things that happened to him was all the focus on the Boise races.
Well, I think it's something. It was somewhat of a perfect storm too, that he had just the right race to run with the other people who were running against him. He had two other people running against him, so he only needed a plurality. He ran against the state chair of the Democratic Party, was one of the people in there. Okay, she's going to get 30% of the vote. You get that in Canyon County. That's how many Democrats they are. Then he ran against kind of more of the old guard Caldwell people from the old Ralph Smead type groups there who really discredited. So it really worked out well for him that someone's looking for someone who's kind of a moderate in the middle type. He also gets this, I believe, people love to see this redemption story. Here is someone who did all these things wrong, but through love of family and God, he able to pull his life together. And look, he's a great. I did a forum out there. You have his wife and his two beautiful kids sitting there and such like that. It's a heartwarming story that people went for.
I don't know if his – boy – He had some victims.
I'm not saying anything about that. But what I'm also saying, and there are never McGeers who are out there who will never, who can't forgive themselves. But there are some who have.
But how much does this also go back to the idea that if you have moved into this area in, let's say, the last 5 years, like we've seen, what, 25% of the population in the Treasure Valley? Yeah. You don't know the backstory.
Yeah, I think most people do. I think it was pushed out a great deal. Yeah. I think people really did. But I think, again, it's like people want to have this optimistic story with that. And that's what they voted for. Yeah. That's why some voted for that. And there was others I know who will never vote for him under any circumstance. That's why I think if he was running one-on-one against somebody else, I don't know if he gets 50%.
And the vast majority of voters in that race pick somebody else.
Yes.
But they split the vote.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. This race, that's how it works. Everything worked perfectly for him, that it wasn't, that there was two other people in the race, and who those other two people were made it that he, with all his baggage, is still seen as the kind of moderate person in the race. It just worked out perfectly for him.
We're going to take a quick break and continue our analysis on election night. New mayor in Meridian, but also numerous levies and other initiatives that we want to get to. You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette.